Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Jen. And today we have the lovely Jamie on. We are so excited to talk to her and to go over so many different topics with her. But definitely we're going to focus on starting out with the big one, which is what, Daniela?
Brands that you should know in 2024. Which is so crazy because like 2023 is still here, but it's really almost over. Like August hits and the year's over. The end.
I'm already like pumpkin spicing all about it over here.
First, like, 2 months of this year lasted like 6 months each. And then after that, it's been like boom, 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 boom.
Yes. So we're going to dive right into it. We will see you at the table. Jamie,
I wasn't supposed to talk.
No, you absolutely can talk.
I love it.
Jamie's like, I listened to the podcast and I talked.
I'm like avid listener and I'm just like inserting myself into the intro.
No, I love it. It's fine.
At the table. Okay.
It's all fun. But I do love that you're like, I actively listen to the podcast and I just talk. We're like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to talk.
Okay, intro. Okay.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So Jamie's been on the podcast before. She was on, was that last year that you were on for our round table? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that we do a round table every year with our listeners and we pick certain people, and Jamie was on there last year, but we wanted her to come on this year and we want everyone to get to know her because Jamie's awesome. Jamie's content is great. Jamie has a great personality. We love Jamie, period. End of story.
We're a little biased here. We do.
We do.
What content are you talking about?
I mean, your Instagram stories are hysterical.
Yes. I think Jamie brings a lot of humor, and you bring a lot of realism too, to the times where you struggle. Like, you show both your wins and then also your challenges as well. For those of you who don't know, Jamie is also an actress in LA too. So she also goes over what does that kind of process look like, how her reselling also helps her business. So I think that that is also a very unique perspective on things, because we don't see a lot of resellers in like these major mass large cities. So that is always interesting to watch somebody who is navigating that type of landscape.
Trying my best to navigate it. But yes,
I think you do a good job at it, even when you feel like you're failing. Because you're honest about the process. And I think that's the most important thing. Even when it comes to reselling, you're very honest when things aren't going well.
Yeah, I think you have to be, or else, I mean, you know, a little delusion here and there is good. Yeah. But for the most part, I mean, I have to be realistic about everything. And yeah, I feel like a lot of it's needed in the space, because so many people like... There are so many people in the reseller space, who I follow and I love to follow, but it's hard not to let their successes make you feel bad or make me feel bad. I'll just speak from my own perspective. And so I think hearing the other side of that is really kind of, I don't know, it's comforting to me. Like, oh, you're struggling a lot too? Okay, good. I'm not alone. Not good that you're struggling, but I'm glad I'm not alone. You know, I'm not like just the only one flailing.
Yeah. Right, no, you are definitely not the only one flailing. I think we've all flailed quite a bit this year across the board. So why don't you give people an introduction as to who you are, how you get into reselling. If you want to talk about your acting, that's cool too. And then we'll take it from there.
Cool. Hi, I'm Jamie, and I live in Los Angeles, California, as Jen and Danielle already mentioned. I started reselling in, I think Poshmark told me I joined in February of 2019. Okay. So I think that's when I started. I feel like I just started, but that was kind of a long time ago. And I talked about this a little bit the first time I was on the podcast, but I started reselling because I got really into like the sustainability aspect of shopping secondhand and thrifting. And, you know, in LA, there are so many places to go. There's just like countless thrift stores, vintage shops, like flea markets every weekend. And I watched the documentary, The True Cost, which was about the collapse of Rana Plaza in Bangladesh, I believe is where it was. And the tragedy of like, just how horrible people are treated in the, you know, in the fashion industry, and just how horrible it is for the environment. Like, it's just absolutely awful. And so I made a vow with myself that I wanted to shop, if I could, 100% secondhand, you know, barring underwear and socks. And I think I've like done 92%, I would say, in the last 4 years, 4.5 years now. But I would find things at thrift stores and I would be like, dang, this is so cute, but it's not my size. It's none of my friend's sizes. Oh, well, I'll just leave it here. And then I was like, why don't I see if I can sell it? And then that's when I discovered Poshmark, and I had like an old eBay account from when I would I would buy like magazine clips of like boy bands, like, and send cash to people. Like, that is literally what my eBay account was for. It was for like pictures of JC Chazet in my childhood living room,
because that was important.
That was really important to me. That's like the most important thing to me. But I was like, oh yeah, eBay. And so that's when I started selling, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. And at the time I was acting, and it was before the pandemic. So I was also a manager at a bar. So I've worked in hospitality and restaurants and bars for so long, because that's kind of like the go-to job if you're pursuing acting. Okay. But the reselling was bringing in like a good chunk of extra income. And I was like, this is great. Like, this is really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. I felt like I was doing something to promote sustainability and secondhand shopping. I got a lot of my friends into it. My boyfriend will wear things that I get him. He does not want to come with me, but he will wear that I get him. Yeah, and from there, it's just kind of taken off. Well, not taken off, but it's continued. And then when the pandemic hit, I decided, you know, obviously I wasn't a bar manager anymore, because no one was going to bars and no one was allowed to go to bars. So I did reselling full time while, you know, auditions also weren't happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've just been doing it full time since. And now, you know, restaurants are open again, but I never want to go back to working in a bar or hospitality or anything. I'm far too introverted to talk to people for that many hours a day now, especially now that I'm not used to it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just auditioning and reselling now.
Would you say that transition from that part-time having fun reselling to full-time, was that difficult for you, or did you find it was a smooth transition? It was difficult.
Got it. It's so hard. Like, it still mm-hmm. is so hard. I think especially, you can't really see my background. I'm truly a chaotic mess of a person. Like, truly, it's truly like a cyclone has come through here. And I'm a really good employee. Like, if I have a boss and they tell me to do something, like, I will do it instantly. Like, it will be done so fast. I really, like, I need structure in my life. And so, mm-hmm. like, having to be the person to, like, you know, implement structure, I mean, I haven't. Like, I'm so bad at being my own boss. Like, it's great because I have so much flexibility now for auditions. Before, I used to get so stressed out if I was at the bar, and I would get like, because you, so many times you get like 10 hours notice before you have an audition. And so like, I would be scrambling to, you know, ask my boss if I could come in late or leave early, or like, it made me so anxious and stressed out. So now I have total freedom as far as that goes. But it's still like such a challenge for me to provide structure for myself and like treat it truly like it is a job. Just because, you know, there's so many distractions around and I'm, you know, I'm chaotic. So it's still such a struggle. Like my boyfriend will be like, do you want me to like tell you to do a certain number of things before? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no.
Don't tell me that.
Don't tell me to do anything. I'm like, I need to be the one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people definitely resonate with what you said. It's not uncommon to hear someone say that, you know, the whole structure thing. So we're going to have a whole discussion on this, though, in our Patreon group after this episode. So if you want to hear that, head on over there. Absolutely. But today's episode for you guys is all about 2024 brands you should be on the lookout for. And I thought Jimmy was the best person for this. And I know Jen agrees, because being on the West Coast, you are just introduced to so many different brands that here on the East Coast or in the middle of the USA, we don't typically see. And if we do, it's rare. It's more of like an online sourcing thing. There are things that Jamie has posted, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I know a lot of brands, and I am just shocked at the things that all my friends on the West Coast post. I am like amazed. But I think you are the perfect person to do this, because not only does she know the brands, she focuses on the sustainable brands, which I think is so important. And I know we had a sustainability brand earlier this season with Jill, but this is going to be a little different than that. And Jen, I'm sure you can speak to how different it is on the West Coast compared to the East Coast with the brands.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, as we know, depending on whatever region you're in, you know, people have their favorites, right? And I feel like, especially like on the East Coast, in the Midwest, there's generally like your favorite brands. So you do see a lot of those out there, where I do tend to see that people on the West Coast experiment a little bit more with their fashion. I don't know if it's because we just have the same seasons. I mean, at least in California, all year round, and we just get bored of wearing like the same stuff. I'm not quite sure. But we definitely tend to see people take more risks on things, you know, and try things generally a little bit sooner than in other areas. And I can speak to that professionally too, as a former buyer and a former merchant. When I would buy for different regions in the areas, always in California, we could push out newer brands, newer trends, newer things, test them out, see how they do, and then slowly trickle them in after they had been in a lot of our stores for about 6 months or so. You know, so lots of times we would do that, knowing that sometimes it is a little bit harder to convince buyers in other regions to try a different thing, try something else new. And like I said, I even had one time where I was building out, I won't say what company it was for, but I was building out like a whole new structure and a whole new plan for a department. And my boss had told me, from New England, had said, oh, I love all this, but you know what? We're in New England, honey, and we don't really like to do super trendy things. The New England woman will try something after it's been in the market for 3 or 4 years. Oh. And I just thought that was so shocking to me.
I'm sorry, like, the honey part got me, because that's so true.
Absolutely not.
I was like, really? Like, you know? So, and I don't believe that. I believe that there are people that are out there that want to try to do new things and different things. So that's why we want to like talk about it here, because maybe it does generally start in LA, in California, you know, when it comes to some fashion brands. But obviously there's like hubs like Miami, New York, and everything that also have a lot of their brands too. But it'll be good for us to see what's hot and what's coming down the pipeline, because as resellers, we know we always want to have that leg up, right? Mm-hmm. We always want to know what's going to be hot, not necessarily what's just hot right now that everybody's picking up. It's like, this is the time to start picking up all that stuff before it starts getting really popular, before it becomes overpriced, before you can't find it anymore.
And before it comes mainstream, which I think is like the main thing with these brands that you're going to mention, Jamie, a lot of them maybe are mainstream where you guys are, but like definitely not out here. Mainstream out here is like Everlane, Madewell, Lululemon, like that's mainstream out here. Mm-hmm. And you'll find like your Jenny Canes, all that kind of stuff too. But it's very interesting, the differences in the brands that people gravitate towards. I can tell you, here, I went to like a local, local, it's in Massachusetts, but local for me, outdoor shopping area. I cannot tell you how many women had on Lululemon Aligns with the belt bag and a pair of either Hokas or on shoes. Yep. That's the attire.
That's the uniform.
Yep, of course, with the Stanley. That's the attire. Like, that's it here. Like, that's what everyone wants. Even moms in like their 50s, 60s, rocking the belt bag. Like, that's what's big out super here popular. Right now.
Yeah.
It's wild. But it's, and that's just what it is. And no matter what you look at, no matter who it is, that's what people are looking for out here. They want that look for whatever reason.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I know it's very different in New York. It's very different in LA. But out here, that's what the people want. I think if you can get ahead of what the people want now and things that are going to slowly start to filter in, like you said, Jen, you're going to be the person they're going to go to buy that stuff, because you're going to be one of the only ones that has it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Why don't we just start? Like, why don't we start with some of the brands, Jamie, that you're seeing? I'd love to, like, hear about the brands, and like, we can all, you know, have a discussion about like, what do we know about the brand, if we know anything about it too. You know, and while you're listening, if you have a chance, you know, definitely I would highly recommend our listeners to google these brands. You can even you can search for them on Poshmark, and generally what I would do is, like, I would look for a listing that would have the tag, so I could start learning what the tag looked like.
Good. And we definitely Google while people are telling us different things too. Jen and I are like, I don't know this. Let's Google.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm like, I've got my browser ready. Let's go.
Yep.
Oh, same. Okay. Okay. So the first one I'll talk about, since I am, a lot of these brands I'm going to mention are made in California. So the first one is actually called Ozma of California, O-Z-M-A. And where this top is from them. I actually personally really love this brand. So it's made in California. They use all of their colors are kind of like earthy, natural tones. Wow. A lot of a lot of really like breezy and easy silhouettes. A lot of raw silk, linen, cotton. Yeah, really like just relaxed fit. I think all of their pictures are of them in like, you know, like deserts or like on the beach. And it's all just that very like Southern California aspirational lifestyle where you're just like, I have nothing to do all day except stroll along the sands in Malibu. You know?
I love the simplicity of the brand.
Yeah, it's really simple. A lot of it is they really focus on not overproducing. So a lot of their styles and silhouettes, they'll be done after they release, which I really appreciate, because, you know, overproduction is like the worst thing. Their price points are pretty high, but again, like the construction of the garments is just really, really beautiful. Personally love every piece that I have from them.
Resale value on this is insane. Very good. I'm not seeing anything less than like $60. Yeah. Honestly, like it's crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just shipped a raw silk t-shirt from them that retails at $138. I sold it for $100.
Wow.
That's crazy. See, this could be a good one to online source too, because I just saw somebody was selling an Ozma linen dress for $30, and I'm like, I would have snaked that up and
sneaked that up right 100%. Now.
Hey, missed that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these are people who probably just don't know what they have.
Yeah, so that's a great one. I found it like one time at a thrift store out here, but I find it at like Crossroads or buy sell trade stores out here pretty frequently. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good one.
Tag is really unassuming, folks. It just looks like not white, but just like an off white, like an eggshell, and it just has like black or potentially brown lettering on it, and it's all bold. That could easily be a miss, 100% at a thrift store or absolutely at a buy sell trade. Mm-hmm. Nice. Oh my gosh, I love
it.
This.
Adding it to my list.
I have like this oversized heavyweight laundered linen jacket that makes me just feel like so cool. It makes me feel like I'm like this abstract artist, like heading to my studio, you know, like because I've been into the inspiration. Like that's what it makes me feel like. I'm not like that at all, but that's how I feel.
I love it.
This is a great one.
Yeah.
A good one. All right, what's next?
Next one is Myra Peñalosa.
Can you spell it?
I'll spell it. M-Y-R-A-H.
Uh-huh.
And then P-E-N-A-L-O-Z-A.
Okay.
This one is based in Bali. But I found it a few times out here in LA. And again, it's like a very easy, relaxed. I believe the designer, she's a yogi, and so she's really inspired by like garments that are really natural but that you can move in really easily. So a lot of her things are, I'm doing air quotes, one size, which I don't love that, but having sourced several of these things, they are very roomy. So one size fits probably most, but not all. A lot of really natural fabrics, usually like linens, cottons, really breathable pieces. Again, kind of erring on the side of like neutral earth tones. I think all of the garments are made now in Bali, and she hired like 30 seamstresses or seamsters. What's up, man? What is the word?
I don't know.
I think it's seamster. But it's like 30 of them, and they all produce the garments in their homes. Like she doesn't use a factory or anything, and she really focuses on like paying a living wage, which I love, and really supports women organizations in Bali. So she's she's trying to do good things and like recognizes where the brand falls short as far as sustainability goes. But, you know, they're very transparent with what they're doing in order to provide a good living wage for their employees, which I really appreciate. And every time I've had it, the pieces have gotten, they don't get like a ton of likes, but when they do get likes, they will sell quickly. So there are people who are definitely looking for the brand. I know you had Ashley on recently. She just gone to Bali. And I remember on her Instagram story, she posted that she was like going to the Myra Peñalosa store out there. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I didn't know anyone else knew this brand, but of course she does.
I say Ashley knows every brand.
Of course she does. But yeah, that's a good one too.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the categories that they sell are dresses and gowns, play suits, onesies, rompers, tops and shirts, sleepwear, accessories, sacred adornments. So obviously, maybe I'm assuming things related to Bali traditions, and then footwear.
Yeah, this definitely gives me like Kundalini vibes. Tulum like vibe, that whole kind of thing where it's like fancy resort wear for every day.
Like but, I don't, that thing could have been $10 or like $10,000, and I don't know, but
yes.
Yeah, They're really well made.
But like, again, yeah, like pieces that I'm seeing here, used again pieces, you know, $60 and low end, $45, $50, you know, this is like $100. So good pieces. Again, the label is like a white label with Mayra Peñalosa's name just like cursive. So it definitely would be a brand, a logo for me that would stand out like, oh, that looks like it could potentially be something, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Very nice. I like it.
Okay.
I'm learning new things.
Yay. I'm glad I can teach you new things.
Yeah. Give me the next one.
Okay. Next is a brand called, I think, Hey Nui. Okay. Don't hold me to that, but I'll spell it. H-E-I-U-I. All one word. Okay.
Oh, it's a Hawaiian word, right?
I don't know. I know that the designer is French, so I don't know.
Spell it one more time.
H-E-I-N-U-I.
N-U-I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, just the first photo that comes up on the website. I love
mm-hmm.
the way the model is laid there. Oh, yeah. The website's nice. It looks like you're looking in a magazine, like a Vogue, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like a lookbook mm-hmm. is what you're looking through.
Yeah, so this one is from a French designer. I think all of the pieces are made ethically in Barcelona, Spain. Mm-hmm. But you'll notice a trend here. I like a lot of things, a lot of brands that focus on natural textiles. So again, Hey Nui uses mostly linen and cotton. And they are another brand that they're mostly made to order. They'll have some like ready to wear things on their site, but again, to prevent overproduction, mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll have to wait if you want like a certain piece in a certain size.
Holy smokes. The resale on this is crazy. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
They're definitely pricey. But again, it's like that quality is just, it's there. Like I had never heard of it. And the tag, you need to look at the tag for this one because it looks,
it's so unassuming.
Like not a word. Yeah. Like it's just like a little scribble. And I was like, what does that say?
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of like, you know, one of their more popular things is like a midi dress that has like a little straps that cross over the front and tie in the back. So they're like classic pieces with like a little, you know, little quirky touches. And mm-hmm. some of their patterns are really colorful, fun, and unique. Yeah, a lot of their popular pieces are just like solids and plaids though too.
Yeah, really great. I would say they have really great basics, but they also do have really fun prints on mm-hmm. some of their dresses. All of the silhouettes seem to be, it kind of is giving me a little bit like Doen, I would say, vibes a little bit. Like that, just so that like French countryside, like I'm going to go on a picnic and I'm going to look fabulous while I'm doing it kind mm-hmm. of feel. And it's like beautiful T-length style dresses that I see here. They are a little bit more, I would say, on the conservative side from what I've seen, but it's absolutely lovely. And I did see some people say that it looks like Anthropologie might have carried it for a little bit or a hot second or something. Oh. I'm not quite sure from what I've seen. But when it comes to resale, some of the used pieces, I'm not going to talk about new tags because what's the likelihood that you're going to find that? But like $180, $230, $125 for a shirt, $105 for another dress. Like these are all over $100. Okay, here I found one for $79. Like these are really, really great prices. And yeah, you can definitely tell that there's great construction in here as well. But this could easily be a miss in a Crossroads, in a second, you know, or in a thrift store or something like that, a Plato's Closet or something. I could see that for sure.
The colors that they use are vibrant, but like not over the top, which I really like.
Uh-huh. I feel like it's for people who like maybe want to delve into wearing more color, but are, you know, afraid of like the really bright stuff. It's like, you know, fun to dip your toe in.
Yeah. And if you go on the website, there's a few pieces that actually show the tag, their new tag on it. And I can see what you mean. It's just like a cursive. It's
just like a cursive. Very artistically scribbled name. I think with a lot of these new brands too, I definitely want our listeners to think about like online sourcing for a lot of these, because a lot of times people won't know what they have, you know, and they might just see like, oh, I have this dress that I found. I thought it was cute in the store or whatever, or I never wore it. I've been able to find quite a few pieces that way of pretty expensive before the brands emerge, you know what I mean? Until like they become really big. Because sometimes people, it could be super trendy people too, who are just like, I just don't care how much I get for this.
They're just like, I am rich and I
really want that.
But I get
same.
Like, I want to give away like my really expensive dresses because I really just don't care. Awesome. Oh, I love this one. This is a fun one.
I could totally see this being an Anthropology though. Like everything about it reminds me of Anthropology.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very picnic in the French countryside. Whoever said that. That was,
That'd be Jen.
Okay. I've always got an opinion about something. All right. What's next?
Okay, the next one is kind of similar to Hei Nui. Their pieces aren't like quite as fun or funky, but Pine and Smith. Mm-hmm. So Pine is with a Y, but everything else is the way you think it is.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's all these, I love, these brands are preppy, but not. And I like that about them.
Mm-hmm. They're like, cool girl preppy.
Yes.
They're like, LA cool girl preppy. So Pine and Smith is like, again, they use mostly linen, I think maybe all linen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made in California also, I believe, small batches, ethically produced, all that same spiel.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the silhouettes are really simple. Their most popular dresses are like just a short sleeve, like half button up placket midi dress with pockets with like, just really simple design. And, but the couple of times that I've found this brand, they've sold within 2 days. So very fast, and they sell for a good amount as well. They retain their value quite well.
Yeah.
I would say that this brand kind of reminds me of Ace and Jig a little bit. The way that their pieces are constructed and some of the patterns remind me of that, because Ace and Jig used to be really big and it just is not what it used to be anymore, unfortunately. But I can see like a little or maybe a little flax too. The way they make their top looks like a flax top.
If you guys know, I didn't put this on the list, but the brand Not Perfect Linen reminds me a lot of this as well. Not Perfect Linen, I think they are based in Lithuania, somewhere in Europe, but they sell on Etsy. They're really popular with like the natural textile girlies of the world. Oh, that's a bonus one.
All right, we're adding that in.
But the silhouettes and the styles of Pine and Smith dresses are really similar to those.
Gotcha. Very nice.
Yeah. What's the resale look like, Jen, on the Pine and Smith?
So the resale on this one, it's interesting because I think I just might have it. Let me just, when I typed it in, it didn't give me a lot on the sold stuff, but I think it was because I had it typed in as Pine and I actually spelled out Ann Smith, but it's actually under Pine and then the symbol and Smith. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to that right now. So based on what I see here, we have a lot of the linen dresses for 90, 100, 140, 120. 60. Let's see. Yeah, see, this is one where I would personally, the way that I would look for it is I would then type in, like I just did, Pine and Smith, or I would just put in Pine Smith or something. Mm-hmm. Try different variations mm-hmm. when you're online sourcing, because again, sometimes people just don't know or they don't care, you know? But yeah, you can definitely, holy smokes, like 65 on the low, a linen yeah. shirt for 80, another blouse for 80. So really, really great comps on this piece.
And you are right, Jamie. They only make linen garments and yeah. it is vintage inspired designs. That's what they go by.
Wow.
Very nice. Love it. All right. Ready for the next one.
Okay. Next is Stoned Immaculate. It's spelled the same way.
I got it. Yep. Oh, I see it on the Real.
Mm-hmm. But this one is, I believe, also made in California. And this one is a bit more funky than the previous brands I've yeah. mentioned. It's very vintage, retro inspired, a lot of inspiration from like California in the 60s and the 70s.
100%. I can see that. Oh yeah.
Even the photos on the website, you can tell just the way the models are posing.
It's very 60s and 70s rock. That's yeah. what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. So these pieces are really fun. It's not like exactly my style, but yeah. they're really cool. Like, yeah, some of their pieces, especially like the Intarsia graphic knits, can go for a really, really good price point. They have really cool, like big flare jeans. It's just like a really fun brand. And I feel like if I were cooler, I would want to wear everything from them, but.
Oh, I was just thinking that, Jamie, I was like, this is cool. It's too cool.
Yeah, it's like so cool.
I'm not cool enough to wear this. If I saw
dressed in all Stoned Immaculate, I would be like, I'm intimidated.
It looks like they just did a collaboration with Rolling Stone too, because on their website, they have a bunch of Rolling Stone inspired.
That people. Makes sense. That oh. makes total sense. Yeah. If you look at this, like, it's definitely got, yeah, exactly what you're saying. 60s, 70s vibe, California, like rocker kind of look. Like they have some stuff like a sweater from the Grateful Dead. That's new with tags though. Let me find something that's not new tags. So the sweater, like the knit sweaters, $100. Some of the jackets, 60. Some of the jeans, 65. So they have jeans. That's interesting. Sweaters, 175. Definitely, yeah. Like some of the t-shirts can be a little bit on the lower end, but like $20 to $30. I mean $20 to $40. I'd be happy with $40 for a t-shirt.
Same.
Yeah. So no, this is awesome. And yeah, like their jackets, yeah, like they have this really fancy, like sunset looking one that yeah. looks like probably it's like their most famous one. And that one, the sweaters are the ones that are going for like $150. And I can even see it's accepted by The Real. And on The Real, okay. they have the Stone Immaculate blue pattern. It says like sunset print. They're selling it for $122 to $129 is what I'm seeing.
Yeah. They have a really cool like crochet dress with like this metallic knit. It's called the Birkin dress, I think. Mm. Inspired by, you know, Jane Birkin. But that piece goes for over $200 easy.
That's crazy.
Like
yeah. That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
And what's the tag look like? Is it really their label? Like what it shows on the website?
Probably.
Yeah. So again, like kind of like a canvas looking tag with black writing, and it's like the S is a little bit like it's got like curvature to it, and so yep. does the I in Immaculate, and yeah. then everything else looks pretty standard. But it's definitely a piece that I think that it would stand out to you if you saw it. Again, like whenever you're looking at a lot of these pieces too, it's like I always like to sometimes if I'm not sure about something, one of the first indicators that I always do is I feel the tag. And I like to like see, because that could also be a quick indicator, like, oh, some thought went into this, you know? Mm-hmm. And But sometimes you never know. It could just be a cheapy one. It's really expensive. But most of the time, like, just look at like the tags. Look, what kind of the care, what do the care tags also look like? All that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Great. Next, my friend.
Next.
Oh, sorry. Before you go on, Stone Immaculate, I guess that it was an album by The Doors.
Oh.
So maybe that's why.
Add it to your little nuggets that you're learning today of all these random things. I love it.
Okay, next is a brand called Nettle Studios.
Okay.
And this one is another like linen brand.
Oh, wait, small, but we're size inclusive.
Yeah, very size inclusive.
Love it. Exclusive.
Yeah. It's founded by two women. I think it's based out of San Francisco, and they are like almost fully made to order. So again, no overproduction. Their pants, I had a pair of like their easy pants, which I think is like their most popular thing. It's like the most comfortable thing in the world. Really well constructed, really like simple pieces, but they'll have they have a lot of neutrals, but they'll do really fun colors and patterns as well. Right now they have one called Tutti Frutti, which is so it's so cute. But yeah, this one, the resale value can vary a little bit with this brand. Some of their pieces like really hold their value, especially like the limited edition prints. But I mean, I'm looking at solds right now, and there's like, they have an easy pant that retails for $165. This one sold for $125. Some will sell from, you know, $70 to $100, but still, like, you know, if you're sourcing within a good price point, that'll get you a good return on investment, I would say.
Absolutely. And in terms of sizing, they go up to 6XL, which is amazing. Unheard of in a lot of these brands.
And they have a lot, I think, like a lot of the models on their website are also size inclusive too. So we love that.
Yes, we do. We need to see more of it.
Yes. So for the tag too, one of the biggest dead giveaways too for me, if I was in the thrift store, is, well, the fact that it's linen and it says made in the USA. So anytime you see made in the USA on almost anything, I would always throw that in your cart, do a little bit of research, because lots of times, I mean, making stuff in the US is so expensive. It really, really is. So if there's a company that is taking the time and doing that and sourcing things and making things here in the US, it's definitely somebody who has had to put a lot of thought in, and more than likely the piece will be more expensive because it has to incur that cost, right? Into the garment, into the piece. So that would definitely be my giveaway when I see that. I'm like, oh, this is linen made in the US. I need to look it up.
Yeah. It's a good one. And it's fun. It's a fun brand.
Yeah. I love the easy linen pant in like the bright colors.
Yeah, me too. I want a pair for myself. So saving it.
I feel like I would live in that. Oh my gosh. That's so nice. Yeah. So again, so like Jamie mentioned, the pants, you know, I see anywhere from like $100, you know, for some of these pants, some of the tops, $40, $60, $50. More pants, $75. Yeah, there's definitely going to be some where you could see them on a little bit of a lower end price. But when I'm talking lower end price, I'm talking like $30. Again, if I got a linen shirt, probably more than likely a linen shirt at a thrift store, you're going to get it for probably $5 or less. I don't know why. I still find that linen is pretty cheap in the thrift stores. Mm-hmm. And to sell it for like $35, I'd be pumped about that.
Yes.
Awesome. Oh, I like it. Okay. I'm like getting all my ideas for my Christmas list right now.
Yeah, I am keeping a list of all the websites so that I don't lose these.
All right. Next, we have one that I love personally, and it's called Black Crane.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh, on the real.
Oh, it is. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Black Crane. It's kind of all over the place. I'd say 60 to 200, depending on the piece.
Right. That sounds about right. That's kind of how it is on the resale market as well. So I would definitely, if you find it, look up comps, because some of their pieces don't, you know, garner as much of a price. But my personal favorite things to find are their linen jumpsuits, their dresses, their pants, just naming everything. but yeah, the designers, I believe, are originally from Japan, and it definitely has that kind of style. You know what I mean? Like the structured, neutral, just really simple, clean look. But yeah, they're really, again, really, really well made. Like if you find it and you're not familiar with it, I think that you would probably like know that you had something good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, you know, I think a lot of these brands that we're seeing the tags all have very similar feels. So again, it's kind of like that canvas kind of look to it with what, like just like black typewriter, you know, style font, and it just says black crane on it. But these prices here, like some of the tops, looking $50, $45, $75. Where some of the dresses, again, I'm quoting stuff that is not new with tags for our listeners, $126. Wow. I'm seeing for the overalls, $160. Yeah, like there's some really good prices here. I can definitely see what Jamie is talking about. There's some, like some of the tops are like $30, $35. So I guess it can really depend on the style, but like the top that I'm saying that's $35, it has like a really high neck, and it's got almost like that Victorian buttons going up. So I could see why maybe that one is not as popular, you know, because this definitely has like that lagging look kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm. I also noticed on their website, the jumpsuits are completely sold out. So it doesn't surprise me that the resale on it is higher. Really high. Yeah. And their bottoms are completely sold out on the website. And when you click on jackets, all they have is robes that are left. So those three categories alone, I would say if you come across it, that's kind of what you want to focus on, because they don't have any on their website.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're right. Mm. Dang. That's crazy. Oh.
But that just shows that they make whatever they make, and then that's like, it.
They're done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it though.
It's a nice brand.
Nice. Oh my God. All right.
Okay, next. Jamie, you're so good at this.
I know.
You want to just be on the podcast with us all the time? I mean, this is
that'd be fine with me, because honestly, Jamie, half the time I'm like, oh, I'll know. I thought to myself, I should know all these. I don't know any of these.
I don't know a single one.
Good. Oh, okay, good. I'm glad. I was scared that you'd be like, yeah, we know. Yeah. We know.
No. Okay,
good. Good. Okay, next is a brand called Esby. ESBY. I don't know if it's Esby or if it's Esby Apparel, but
Esby Apparel. I feel like I've seen the name, but I've never come across this brand.
Yeah. I really love this brand personally. Like I think the style is very stuff that I would wear. I have a pair of their jeans and a top. They're both really well made. I believe again that this is made in California, definitely the US, but I think California specifically. Yeah, they just have like really kind of timeless pieces. There's nothing like extraordinary, like nothing really funky or, you know, super unique about them. Just really well constructed pieces that I believe the designer said that she like, I think it's this brand where she said that she like lived in a small New York apartment. And so she wanted everything that she had to like be wearable for a bunch of different occasions, be really well made, well constructed, because she wanted to have a small wardrobe. And that's like, I can definitely see that in the pieces that they make, where everything is just like, you know, super wearable, really well made. Again, a lot of natural fabrics, linens, cottons, that type of thing. But this brand retains its resale value really well.
Oh yeah. I'm just gonna throw this out here. This brand, while yes, it gives me a little bit of like Christy John and Doen and like the dresses and stuff, this is what a capsule wardrobe should look like. right? When you look at the tops and the pants, like mm-hmm. it is capsule minimalistic wardrobe. 100%. Mm-hmm. You want inspiration? Just go to that website because you're going to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wow. This is, their tops are really beautiful. I really like their tops. Oh my gosh. So it's weird. Like I wouldn't call it, like you said, like, kind of gives you some Christy Dawn vibes, but kind of gives you some Lag and Look vibes, but not mm-hmm. like it's a mixture of it, but it all works together.
Everything's just really classic looking.
Yes. Very classic looking. So mm-hmm. jumpsuits, 95, jeans, 70, tops, I see 65, on the lower end of some tops. But again, these are very basic, $40, 30. Like you can see a lot of these like really do retain their value, like dresses, $145, $100, their pants, $79. Like this, it definitely retains its value. People are looking for this. It's interesting. Yeah. Like everybody wants to be comfortable, but they also want to be fashionable at the same time.
mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us are into the fabrics way more than we were before, because we want to be cozy, but we want the fabrics to feel nice. Like, I don't want to be sweating when I'm cozy. Mm-hmm. I want everything to breathe.
Oh, God, no. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Awesome. Okay. Next is a brand called Carleen, Carleen.
Okay. I'm assuming this is her name?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know where it came from. I think her name is Kelsey.
Okay, let's shop and see what they have. Oh, they have kids, men's, and women's, and home.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of her stuff is, she uses a lot of like quilting. She does a lot of like upcycling, very vintage kind of utility carpenter inspired. Type of silhouettes, and there are certain pieces where she'll upcycle vintage fabrics, vintage quilts, or vintage like tablecloths. Right now I have a shirt where it's just like patched from different vintage tablecloths, and the retail on those particular pieces is extremely high. I think the shirt that I have retailed for like $450.
I was just going to say that some of this stuff is crazy expensive.
Wild. Again, made in the US, small batch, all of that good stuff. But yeah, they have a cool kind of look to them.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely like an Etsy upcycler vibe is what I get.
Mm-hmm. Looks like they did a collaboration with Madewell.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep. They had a collaboration with Madewell, and they've had a collaboration with Free People too.
Oh, I'm okay. I could see those two brands working with it. The mm-hmm. tag is very simple, white tag, and it says the name in it. And it's got like these, I don't know, it's like boxed in little triangles in the corner, and it has the name in the middle in black bold font.
They potentially could have been at Anthropology. I'm not sure.
I could see that.
People that put that in there, but. So like their patchwork jacket used $120, $110. Let's see here. $70 for like a sweater. Oh yeah, their jackets are really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Can I look here? Cause it is a little bit tough to find these, cause there's so much other stuff mixed into it. So, but I'm trying to see if I see anything else. Ah, another jacket, $100. Some of their tops, they're a little bit more simple, but like $32, $150 for a skirt. So definitely a very unique piece that I feel like if you were at a thrift store or you're at a buy sell trade, you would definitely stop and be like, whoa, what is that? You know?
Yeah, it would catch your eye for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look like they were also sold at Anthropology. So
okay,
see, that's what's so crazy to me. Like some of these brands, like I've never heard of that brand, and they like collaborated with like Free People and Madewell, and they were in Anthropology, and it's like, where the hell is that? Where the hell am I been? I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah,
I had no idea they collaborated with Madewell until just now. Very moment.
I'm curious. I'm going to look up the Madewell collaboration, because more than likely you probably could find that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
probably.
I would feel like those would be the pieces that are more readily available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm searching.
This is what we do, guys. If you're wondering how we research things, this right here.
Yeah, this is how it happens.
Yeah. This is literally how it happens.
A lot of Googling.
Oh, lots of Googling. Yeah. Oh my gosh. They have like jeans and everything.
Yeah, their jeans.
Their jeans are so cool. $150, $75, $100. Yeah, like the collab stuff goes for a lot of money. So definitely something to pick up. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's really cool. All right.
Add it to the list. We're adding this all to the list.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. You have another one for us?
Yeah, I do. Okay. So this one is called Older Brother. And I think it's all one word.
Yes, it's all one word. Oh, interesting little graphic that pops up.
Yeah, it's a little head.
Yes, it is. It's a little head that spins. Okay. Oh my holy price point.
Bad man. Yeah, man. So this one, I believe they're based somewhere in Portland, maybe in the Pacific Northwest, but again, sustainable, ethical, all of the dyes are like, they're natural. I think their pieces are gender neutral, so their sizing is unisex, all sexes. Okay. And again, this one is very like, I don't know how I should describe it.
It's Patagonia, like Patagonia, LL Bean.
It's like mixed. A little Gorpcore, like,
yeah, like, Gorpcore, yes. It's got Gorpcore in there, but it's got like, so the jackets and vests remind me of Patagonia.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like utility.
Yes.
Vibes.
The jeans and some of the tops are very utilitarian, like, just everything. About, I could see Levi's getting inspiration from some of these pieces.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This is, I can't definitely believe the price something. Points.
The price points are in.
It's wild, and the resell is also insane.
Wow. All right, so resell. First of all, first and foremost, when I got on here, I saw a bunch of in search ofs. That's always a huge. That's
an amazing.
Good indicator that this is a brand you want to definitely keep your eye out for. People are looking for specific things from this brand. So when it comes to the jackets for resale value, $310. The puffers, $290. The utilitarian overalls, $212. They're oversized, like an oversized hoodie, which is something that you might find. It's just a basic hoodie, guys. Like seriously, $60. Like that's crazy. This is the Older Brother puffer vest. That looks to be the one of the hottest pieces that they have. Someone sold that used for $595.
Oh my god, I wish it was me.
No,
Jamie. Wish you're I like, had I'm, that.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, it looks like it's been through the ringer, but you know that that's how they designed it. It looks like it's been beaten and it's been weathered and it's outside. There's no way your thrift store would mark the same thing up. I'd be shocked. And then the tag is like their logo, and I believe it probably has their brand on it. But sorry,
it has the little face. On the tag.
And I had the tag was a little far away. So let me try and get another one. Oh my God, you guys. This one has, it's a tag and it says Older Brother on it. I'm looking at a corduroy jacket right here that has a freaking stain on the shoulder right here. And someone sold it for $150.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a good one.
This is a really good one. They're like chore coats are really good. Yeah, they're like waxed. Puffers and like waxed canvas jacket.
Oh, that's what it is. It's waxed canvas. It just looks so messy. No, I mean, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says beeswax organic cotton refined arm gaiters intended beeswax. For garden. I'm looking at the chore coat. Natural indigo Japanese denim. It's sewn in California. Biodegradable packaging. So yeah, very sustainable. And that's something I think we need to remember too when we talk about a lot of these brands. The more sustainable they are, just that's the more expensive they are. It's just a lot of care that goes into it. A lot of the components of it are very expensive. You've got people hand sewing a lot of this stuff. Like, it's just, heck, it's a different level.
Beeswax. You got to take care of those bees, man.
Yeah. And you can really tell, like, when you touch a garment, my older brother, you're like, this is substantial. Someone like really cared about this, you know. Yeah, it's, yeah, you can really tell. But that is a great one. I found it just a couple times, both times at a buy sell trade store.
Oh, I could totally see them bypassing this. I could, like, see this. Okay, yeah, this is trendy, but like, whatever, we don't know what this is.
But see, that's where I'm just like shocked, because it's like, if that was me and I was selling that, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to give this to you for $20.
No.
But there are people out there that don't care.
People in LA don't care. Yeah. Like, I'll be at a crossroads and it'll be like, I know that it's like an influencer or something who just comes in with like
bags.
And they're just like, I don't care. Yeah, you can tag them. And they'll be like, do you want to know the prices of anything? They're like, no. Like, they just don't care.
Oh my God. And then you're just like, hey, excuse me, can I take your rejects? Thank you.
Yeah. I'm like, can I? Can I?
Can I just take them from you? Yeah.
I'll give you $50 for everything you got right there. Oh my goodness. All right. Now we're getting into fantasy land. All right. Continue.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, let me see. Only child. I was like, it's kind of like older brother, but it's not. Only child. I don't know if they make this brand anymore, but they do have like very similar vibe to what I've shared. Very,
I
like,
I don't know. I'm trying to find the website. Let's see. There's Only Child Clothing, and then there's An Only Child.
An Only
Child. Oh, I don't think they make it anymore.
You can definitely be on the lookout for that.
Let me see. Oh, maybe this is it. Maybe it's An Only Child. Describe it to me, and then I'll tell you if this is the website. Utilitarian?
It's more just like, kind of like Esby, where it's just like very classic.
Okay.
This is neutrals, linens, cottons.
Let me see. I'm going to scroll. This could be it. But it says An Only Child. Oh. So I don't know.
Let me see.
We're going to Google here.
Googling. No.
Nope. So if I click on Only Child Clothing, nothing comes up for me. But then if I go, there's this other one called Only Child, but the jewelry pops up. So maybe this brand doesn't have a website anymore, but I see the Facebook, Only Child, Oakland, California. And I also see it on Poshmark. So last time they posted was June 25th, 2021. So going to say they don't produce anymore. Exist. Okay, which means people want it.
Yeah. I would say their pants and their sweaters and coats are the best to find. They have a lot of like little, you know, plain linen tops and stuff. Those don't really sell that great, but some of the more substantial pieces can do really well. But I mean, especially if they don't make it anymore, if you find it.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple in search of that I found to Poshmark. So people are clearly looking for it because they do like it, right?
Yes.
Dang, Jamie, this is so many. I didn't think we'd have this many.
I know.
Many?
No.
Okay. No, it's good.
Why would it be too many? People want to know all the things.
They need to know all.
And now you're going to become the go-to for people. Like, I got to follow Jamie and see what else she posts. Yeah. Like, our face right now.
Follow me for one post every 6 months.
But lots of stories of her dog.
Lots of stories.
I'm on that same wave, so don't worry about that.
You know, I'm like, I know I should be more active on here, but.
Yeah, but the stories are enough.
Yeah. Just give you a little taste. Okay, I have another one that is going to cease production, but this is a really good one, so I'm going to share it. It's called forgive my pronunciation, Dutch folk. I believe it's pronounced Lyke Wolf, but it's spelled L-Y-K-K-E.
Okay.
And then W-U-L-L-F.
That's what I thought. Lyke Wolf, women's clothes, handmade. Okay.
Mm. So
very cool. I was just going to say, it looks like Madewell, kind of, sort of.
They're like a little funkier.
Yeah.
They have some really, again, they have a lot of like retro inspired silhouettes, mm-hmm. especially with their pants and their, their pants, their jeans and their overalls. But they have, let's see. Yeah, their stuff is really cute. And they, yeah, I think the founder recently announced that they're gonna stop making things because of the cost that exists to be a sustainable and ethical brand. Which
it's expensive sucks. To produce this stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a resale section on their website.
They do?
Mm-hmm. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's like a little thing that says resale, and I clicked on it. Yeah.
Whoa. Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, if you wanted to sell it yourself, they have jeans, which again, denim is very hard to make sustainably. So you don't really see it very often in a lot of these brands, especially when it comes to like, it's the big thing about the dyeing of the indigo is very hard to do naturally. Water. Yeah. So in all the water and everything that goes into it, but their jeans, resale wise, $100, $125, pants $75, $125, their tops, some of them $160, $98. So again, really great. Lower end, I would see like some jeans maybe $50, you know what I mean? Like, but I don't think that person knew what they had.
Yeah.
$55 for some pants. Yeah. See, I would buy these for $50 and then I'd go around and resell them. Why not?
Sure. Mm-hmm. They carry them on the Real too.
They're very beautiful. Very beautiful pieces.
Yeah. Like a pair of jeans from the Real. And so
very good. Cool. Very cool. Yeah. I like it.
Listen, guys, if you're not sourcing on the Real, you are just missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Period. There is just so much to find on there to sell at, I mean, like crazy low price points.
Yeah. They just have so much inventory that it's like, gotta move it.
Right. And they gotta get it out.
They gotta get it out. I don't send anything to them anymore, but.
But you're buying things.
But I'll buy things from them. 100%. Yep.
All right. Yeah. We have another one?
Sure.
Lucas is like, yeah, you want me to keep going?
Let's do two more. Okay.
Yeah.
This one I mentioned on my Instagram stories yesterday, and it's a sub brand, I guess, of Nike, and it's called Every Stitch Considered. And the tag is hard to read, so look it up. You will see a Nike swoosh on the piece, but it is not regular Nike. It is like, I think it started in 2020, but it was like, it's a more design driven, like utility.
I did see this one on your stories.
Yeah. And it's really.
Yes. And I commented, I was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of their pieces are very androgynous. They're very like, again, just like if I saw someone wearing all Nike ESC, I'd be like, they're cool. I'm too scared to talk to them. Like, you know, and their pieces are really, this is the first time I've ever found a piece from them. And it's like, the material is so high quality. Like, it just feels so nice. I found a hoodie that's like half cashmere, half merino wool. And then pants that have like this, they're really cool. Like, I would never wear them, but like, they're so cool. They have a zipper that goes from the bottom to the top, like a full zipper with like a curved hem. And there's this like a really heavy canvas material that's like a wool blend. The stitching is crazy. Both pieces were made in Italy. Like, they're just so nice. Yeah. And I think both of them retailed like for $450 each.
I was just going to say the pants that they have listed right now are the Nike ESC woven worker pant. It comes in two colors and it's $425, which is wild.
Crazy.
And I never even knew that this was a thing.
Wow. There's not a lot on Poshmark or eBay. No. There's just not a lot of inventory. So, you know, people might be looking for that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure what the solds are. I think I remember looking up because it's kind of hard to find.
It's like, fine. It's I'm having a hard time finding it, to be honest. Yeah. With you. And I wish I could show people.
Search like Nike ESC. That's like the best way I have to find it.
I would say with a piece like this, because they only have one piece on the Nike website, like, it seems like it's such like a limited thing. You have free range to price this however you want to, which is great about some of these pieces. Like, you could list those at $375, easy.
Yeah. And some of the solds, like, it's random. Like, there's one that I'm looking at where it's a jacket that's new with tags that retailed for $600, but it sold for only $80. But then you'll see like a skirt that sells for $255 used. So I feel like you kind of have to take control of the pricing on this one and just like know what you have, you know?
Yep.
But
I need to look up what the tag looks like too. So I could.
So weird. If you look, I think I listed mine if you want to look. Or maybe I didn't list it yet.
Because I mean, you're gonna think it's Nike. Like, that's all you're gonna be like, oh, Nike, you know, whether or not you pick it up or not, then it just depends. But it's the dress that I'm looking at, it's like a silk blend dress and it's a black on black logo.
Yep. And the pants that I have, it's white on white, and like the text is like mirrored or reversed.
Like, I could see, like, me picking this up and being like, oh, this is Nike. And then probably more than likely just be like, I'm not going to get this. But also like, oh, this is Nike. And then look at the tag and be like, what the heck? Like, that makes no sense. So that could definitely one that could dupe you for sure. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a sneaky, sneaky one.
Yeah, that's a sneak.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
All right. Wow. What's our last one, Jamie?
Okay, our last one is, I feel like you guys might know this one.
Maybe.
Lauren Manoogian.
No.
I do know this one.
I don't.
I do. I am relevant somehow.
Someone would know. So it's Manoogian is Manoogian.
Holy prices on the real real.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So she, I think they're made here in the US. I know that she went to RISD.
Oh, so she's a local. All right.
Shout out Rhode Island.
The only time we get shout outs.
Yeah. There you go. But again, her stuff is really like new. It's just looks like it's very like quiet luxury. It's
quiet luxury.
Yes. 100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Neutrals, really high quality fabrics. I would say like her coats and her knits are the most sought after things, but everything is beautiful.
I mean, the coat, a trench coat's $1,200. I mean, that's Max Mara prices. And this kind of gives me modern Max Mara vibes.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It seems like she does have some sandals and some shoes, but mostly it's knits. So like her, she has knitted hats, sweaters, cardigans, robes. She even has, she has flip-flops.
Ooh, her clogs are cute.
Yeah, the clogs are really cute. So if you're looking at price points, so if you want to look at like her big cardigan that looks like a really cozy cardigan that looks like I want to live in that thing is $240, $100 for a sweater, a play suit, jumpsuit, $135, pants, $130, another pair of pants, $120, and the crazy thing, she has like this like beanie, and someone sold this beanie for $170.
Well, I don't. So here's where I get like confused sometimes, because this brand retails for like the $400 to $600 mark. Like, why are you underpricing this? The quality is just.
No, you can't.
Guys, stop. Like the sweater retails for $550. That's like $375. Easy. $380. Yeah.
I just listed, it's like a alpaca linen blend shirt dress. And I think it retailed for like $475. And I think I have it listed for $325. And I was like, is that,
you know? No, like, I think that's perfect because it's such a unique, someone who knows this brand will be happy with that price point. Exactly. And I would say even like with the silhouettes, they seem forgiving. They're wider in the way they make their sweaters, and it's oversized but not too oversized.
Their sizing is like 1, 2, 3, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they're very, you could probably wear any size.
Yeah,
no matter
what size. Just to throw this out there, the beanie retails for $215. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a freaking hell of a beanie.
And the clogs are $470.
Yeah.
And they look like clogs that like Madewell and Everlane sell, but better.
But obviously, yeah, better quality. So, oh my gosh, no, this is so much fun, Jamie. One. I like literally want to like pause this podcast and like go to like my local buy sell trade store and see if I can find these.
Yeah.
I know. It's like I've learned so much living in LA. Like I didn't know anything. Not one single thing. And then just, you know, you guys talk about it a lot. It's just like you learn as you're sourcing, you feel fabrics, you learn and you can tell when something is really high quality. And then you just, it takes time to look things up. Like all of the information, you have it if you just search for it.
Yeah, no, this was so much fun. I really hope everybody had just as much fun. And I hope that you are Googling along with us too. Because this was so much fun to find all these like new brands, like I said, for myself. Obviously, I'm not going to get a $500 cardigan sweater for Christmas, but you know, a girl can dream. But no, this was really fun to like learn all these new brands. I think it's really like exciting to see like what's new, what's out there. Because sometimes things can sometimes feel stale, like the same old, you know, brands that you're always seeing. And it's fun. This is the fun part of reselling, is like doing that research and learning what's new, what's hot, what's coming down the pipeline, so that you again can get ahead of the game and ahead of other people who are going to be sourcing this stuff like probably in a few, like 6 months from now, you know? So this is so much fun. Thanks, Jamie.
I think the other thing too is if this isn't your jam to like source modern stuff, you can take these brands, go on their website and like learn the silhouettes, learn the way they're designing things, and apply it to vintage. You can 100% do that. And I think that's the best thing about learning these different brands, is that you get to just deep dive and, okay, this is what people are looking for that's brand new. What can I find that's in my category of things that I love to thrift? And mimic those styles and use those keywords that they're using. Like, there's so many ways to apply this. You don't have to specifically buy this brand to sell it.
And I'm aware that I'm very lucky to, you know, live in a place where these things do come up once in a while. But yeah, totally what you just said, Daniela, is just like you can apply so much to your own sourcing. And I still love finding vintage and like silhouettes that people are looking for and high quality fabrics. And you know, that vintage construction is so much better than the modern construction. So
Well, this was amazing. And now you've officially made yourself someone who has to come on at least once a year to talk about new brands.
Yes.
You are officially inducted into the Thrifters Villa catalog of people that need to come in at all times. So we're going to end the conversation here for you guys. If you're in a Patreon group, head on over there. We're going to be chatting about, just reselling in modern day and our perspective on that right now. So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.